Welcome and bienvenue. Today we're doing a little interview with the German MP Tobias Bachele, and I feel like it's best if you introduce yourself and tell us a few words what you did in Ottawa and why you're here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm a member for the Greens in the German Parliament and a member of the Digital and the Foraging Committee and deputy member of the Committee on European Affairs. So I have quite a strong focus on digital policies, but also on foraging policies and transatlantic matters. So I am on a trip. I was in Washington before, and now I'm here in Ottawa. And of course, I'm focusing on matters where we can closely cooperate when it comes to regulation on social media platforms, but also regarding data access and AI regulations. But also it's just a trip, since I'm also responsible within the EU Committee for the Greens for transatlantic relationships, to, well, get to understand the current political situation better here in Canada.
All right. You've met with numerous representatives of delegations, ministries in Canada and think tanks over the last few days. Which topics are particularly prioritized on your agenda, and what are you specifically bringing back for the Digital and Foreign Affairs Committees?
I mean, as I said, we talked a lot about joint efforts when it comes to approaching, let's not say always tackling, but approaching very large online platforms. And I think, of course, the Russian war in Ukraine is always on the plate, and all of the democracies around the world are struggling with disinformation campaigns, with right-wing extremists that are fueled by that. They're trying to undermine democracy in our states and our liberal values, and that has been a topic, I think, all through it. And I think the question on how to tackle disinformation campaign is very important. I think we can learn quite a bit from each other, but we are quite focused on digital literacy, on debunking things, which I do believe is very important, but we need to look on the technical side of it, on unauthentical behavior of accounts, and therefore we need to approach the very large online platforms, and I think that works better if we jointly approach them. So I think this was a big topic. The other thing is, of course, Germany, we are in the middle of an energy crisis, or we are approaching a really hard energy crisis due to our dependencies on imports of gas from Russia. So yes, we are looking for new places to import our energy from, and for me as a Green, it's very important that, of course, now on a short notice, it's just a matter of diversify our imports. But on the long run, and also meaning long run, not talking about 10, 20 years, but rather 5 years, 4 to 7 years, we need to get back on our climate agenda. So yes, diversifying within the next 1-2 years, very important. This is also based on fossil fuels, but then we need to think, and we need to think about it now, how to shift to renewable energies, to synthetic gases based on renewable energies.
You mentioned that the European-Canadian relationship is also an important topic, and there is obviously a strong transatlantic alliance between Canada and the EU. What challenges do you see for the joint relationships in the coming years, and also what goals can be achieved through cooperations in the future?
I mean, the biggest challenge is south of Canada. The biggest challenge are the United States with their interior developments right now. I mean, Roe versus Wade showed that there is now a politicized Supreme Court not backing down or going after liberal rights, human rights. And I think this gives an environment which is really, really dangerous. And first of all, I believe all right wings around the world are watching closely and trying to adapt those techniques that are applied in the US. This counts for Canada, but it also is true for right wings in Europe and France and Italy and Germany. So I think this is something where we should strengthen our well, like-minded liberal efforts together. And the other thing is, well, let's face it, we don't know who's going to be elected 2024 in the US, and I think this is something Canada and Europe should and must think about. There is the possibility of a Republican presidency that has nothing to do with Trump won in the matter that there is going to be such a distance and in the direction of fascism as there was between Obama 2 and Trump 1. And now think of an administration going into that direction. And think we, Canada and the European Union, jointly need to focus on that, prepare for that, strengthen our ties with the US so that there is not a possibility to back out of this alliance, but also really prepare and be aware that this might become more important to cooperate without the US or have joint efforts to, well, get the US on the table, force it to a table, and, well, explain them sometimes that apparently their time or the way they're viewed in the world has shifted within the last 10 years and is going to shift within the next 2 years. So, yeah, I think this is an important task, and the Canadian-European relationships are key.
Okay, with regard to party politics and local issues, when you enter into international negotiations as a parliamentarian of the Federal Republic of Germany, to what extent does your own party affiliation play a role, and to what extent does your constituency of Böbling play a role as well?
I mean, I'm not officially affiliated with negotiations usually. I mean, sometimes you are a member of a parliamentarian committee or a parliamentarian track of certain platforms, certain meetings. And there, sometimes you have negotiations, but of course you have them rather aligned on the party line than you have them speaking for the government. This is not my position to speak. Of course, I'm speaking for the group which is carrying the government, and so people are really interested in the positions, and sometimes it's also important to let people be aware that there are three parties in this government in Germany with different agendas, with different ideological approaches as well. And I think this is the very important part, being here as a Green member of a group that is, as I said, carrying the government, to explain the political situation and the motives as well. So I think this is the most important thing. But of course, often when you are traveling with an agenda. So there are messages I want to get across, but I think they are mixed between government-aligned agenda and, of course, questions to be raised when it comes to the cooperation between Germany and Canada regarding energy exports. I mean, of course, I'm pushing for a green perspective on that. I'm pursuing the question on how is it sustainable, not only ecologically sustainable, but also economically sustainable, to build certain infrastructure now that needs to be paid down over the years. So, yeah, I think it's very important to put your perspective into that. But yeah, that's then, I would say, rather a political and party perspective on that.
So where do you see like similarities and obviously also contrasts to the political green spectrum in an international comparison, like also with regard to the Green Party in Canada?
I would say in many matters, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm happy if anyone from the Green Party is listening to that and is disagreeing to reach out and discuss on that. But I would say in many matters, the Green Party in Canada is in a phase as the Green Party in Germany used to be, I don't know, 30 years ago. So after they were founded the first 5 or 10 years. Which is a way or a stage of finding yourself as a party, but also establishing yourself as a party and finding a way to, well, on the one hand, wanting to disrupt the political spectrum, which I do believe is also important, but then again, also do that within the political system. So you need to align with certain tactics, methods, and so on. And to find a way between that, I think it's not easy, and I would say that's where the Green Party is right now, figuring out their role for the next 5 to 20 years. Do they want to have a strong voice and advocate for things, or do you actually want to get on the table, which and maybe into government or something as a junior partner or as a carrying partner. And that are two different strategies. And I think you sometimes need to decide on them. But I think what's way more important than focusing on parties that share values is to realize that even if you don't see green agendas and speaking of green agendas, not only ecological agendas, but also a strong human rights approach, not that much presented in your political spectrum or your political parties to reach out for civil society, because I do believe, above all in our generation, there is so much desperate and, or not only desperate, but also very strong wish for, or strong wishes for liberal rights, for human rights, for equality, for being aware of minorities, structural discrimination, and so on, that I really believe if we start to focus on that, that there is, we are not the minority with that. The right-wing extremists, they are loud and they keep us busy with facing them and trying to fight against their rollback or their approaches on rollbacks. But this is something that keeps us busy, and sometimes I think we forget how many we are around the world. And I think to focus on that, I mean, therefore it's nice to have the Green Party as an ally, but there are so many other allies we have around the world as a liberal, as a progressive community, and this I think is so important to see.
All right, so one of the many topics on your own personal agenda were digital currencies. Looking at the research and knowledge on a digital Canadian dollar, what were the key takeaways, and to what extent can Germany and Canada still learn from each other in this area?
I have to admit that I'm not that much into fintech. I do believe that it's a highly ideological discussion, at least in the right-wing corner, but I have to admit I'm rather coming on that from a perspective of disinformation and right-wing narratives. So I would say, I would pass on the technical part of that, but I would definitely say that the whole debate around whether to have paper cash or not is so much ideologicalized, but we need any good digital transfer possibilities. And if someone wants to pay by paper or cash, well, I don't care. Let them do that. But I want to be able to pay digitally. And I think this is something where we need to stand against people trying to have the narrative of we wanting them to take away the cash or so. But as I said, on the technical part, I honestly need to pass.
So we actually had a question on resilience of democratic institutions against like fake news and stuff. So I would go ahead with that one. So democracies around the world have been confronted with populism, protectionism and radicalism in recent years. And events like the trucker protests in Canada are no longer like isolated incidents. So you also discussed resilience of democratic societies in disinformation during your trip here in Ottawa. What will be your key takeaways for Germany on this topic?
Let me have a look. But no, honestly, I think the key takeaway is that we need to, all democracies need to focus more on the technical approach on countering disinformation. We need to try to... I mean, and also it's very, very, very difficult. We talk about disinformation. In Germany, we talk about disinformation, which is just one letter, which is a difference. But the German word is rather an umbrella word for fake news, for misinformation, and for mail information. And I think this is very important to understand that disinformation campaigns, using the German vocabulary, are way more... They're not only about fake news. They're not only about spreading lies. They are so much about undermining solidarity, undermining the community feeling within a society. And this works so good by just using what's there, using convenient narratives. And that's so hard to tackle when you want to have a content-based approach. Because it is not a lie, it's not wrong facts people are spreading. It's just an different perspective that is so unique and it leaves out certain parts where, of course, you need to have a debate about it. And I would say it's not the full picture. And you need to educate people on the matter that this is not something you can base your opinion on fully. But it's also not a possibility to just try to ban that, because it's not a, you can't say that's a lie. People have the right to be dumb. People have the right to be uninformed, and they still have a right on an opinion. But we need to, they don't have a right to get with that in every talk show. They don't have a right to be the recommended tweet on Twitter. And I think this is really important. What platform are we giving such uninformed, such shortcutted opinions? So I believe that this is something we really need to focus on. And of course, fact-checking initiatives, they don't, we cannot rely on people doing that on their free time. So of course it's also a matter of resources for those trying to counter obvious lies, or also counter narratives that just leave out certain parts and so on. So I think if we join those two efforts, we can at least get some resilience.
So today we are lucky enough to explore Canada on its national holiday. How would you describe the atmosphere so far? And is there anything that particularly stood out to you or was interesting to you personally? And what would you say is the biggest difference in perception from German Unity Day, so Tag der Deutschen Einheit?
I mean, basically, it really feels... I used to live in New Zealand for half a year, so this feels like a weekend in New Zealand where people are hanging out, using their free time and enjoying the day, also celebrating their country. And I would say that's very different to the German Tag der Deutschen Einheit, where it's not so much of a holiday you spend with your family in your backyard or so on, but it's a holiday, it's a free day. And maybe you focus on, if you're politically interested, in the official celebrations that happen at one place in Germany, or focus on one place in Germany. Of course, you also have other institutions having special occasions for that day. But I would say it's a very different feeling. But of course, also, I mean, German autumn, German October is way colder, so there's no fun in hanging around the whole day there.
Thank you very much. Do you have any final thoughts you would like to share with us? Anything we haven't touched on that you would really particularly like to talk about?
Now, maybe only one thought. This last few days, above all in Washington, but also, if we're honest, around Canada, have been quite depressing. There is a lot of pessimism going on. Because when, you know, with the US, when there was Trump, there was a clear goal. There was a clear goal to have another president. And now they have Biden. And basically the whole world also anticipated the moment Trump is not president anymore. And now we all have Biden in the White House. And we have the war. So it's easy to get very pessimistic, not only about US politics, but also about the current state in the world. And as I said before, we are so busy with fighting against a right-wing driven rollback in society. Our liberal values are under attack, and it's so important to always keep in mind, as cliché as it might sound, we are not alone. And even if you are in a small party or in a small civil movement, we are not alone. We are fighting together on that issue, and I'm so convinced that the vast majority of us young people, of us as a generation, we share the same idols. And I mean, if you see Olivia Rodriguez speaking out on in the UK on what's happening in the US and how people feel affected by that, I would really say there is a global community, and we need to stick to that and basically take on politics as well. And if you're not getting involved yourself, then write your politicians and annoy them the hell, that even with the current situation, climate change isn't going away and equality won't come by itself, and all the structural discriminations we have within our societies are to be tackled on, and we will.
Thank you so much, and we obviously hope that you can enjoy the rest of Canada Day in the capital city of Ottawa.